miracle man. Nail I'm saved through Jesus' blood. Then we shall meet to name again. Our toil will then be and burden down at Jesus' feet and rest forevermore. We'll be present when the roll is coming to the crimson flood.
Would you bow with me, please, in a word of prayer? Our God and our Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day and for life itself. Thank you so much for the fellowship that we enjoy. Thank you for your written word. Thank you for your church. Thank you for your spirit. And Father, now as we have come to that part of the service in which we study your word together, we pray for wisdom, we pray for understanding. And Father, we pray that we preach your word in a manner pleasing and acceptable in your sight. It's in the name of your Son Jesus that we pray. Let us all together say, amen. It's good to be here tonight. It's good to see everyone who is present tonight. I am indeed indebted to your preacher, Brother Jones, the elders, the deacons, and the brother for just a fine time of fellowship today. And certainly I continue to appreciate the fine fashion in which I am being treated. As I said the other night, I'm being treated just like royalty. And I do not take it for granted, but I sincerely appreciate it. If you're here visiting with us and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we really want you to be. And we are just honored that you are with us here tonight. Let me call your attention tonight to 2 Kings chapter number 4. 2 Kings chapter number 4. And I want to start reading at verse number 38. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 38. The Bible says, "And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land. And the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat, And it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. But he said, then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot. And he said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. Amen. I want you to think with me from the subject tonight. There is death in the pot. There is death in the pot. In our text tonight, Elisha returns to Gilgal. You remember that Gilgal was the place where the children of Israel encamped after they crossed the Red Sea. For the Bible says in Joshua chapter 4 and verse number 19, and the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east borders of Jericho. Gilgal was also the place when in which Saul was officially named to be the king of Israel. But in our text tonight, Gilgal is also one of the three places, along with Jericho and Bethel, in which there was a school of the prophets located. You remember that Samuel established a school in which young men could be mentally and spiritually trained. In our text tonight, Elisha is in Gilgal, and the young men are sitting before him. In the Bible, quite often, the student is pictured as sitting at the feet of the teacher. For listen to the Bible. In Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse number 3, the Bible says, yea, he loved the people, and all of his saints are in thy hand, and they shall sit before you. Every man shall hear of thy words. Listen to the Bible in Luke chapter number 2. And verse number 46, you remember when Mary and Joseph went up to Jerusalem annually to the feast of the Passover. And the Bible says that when Jesus was 12, that he went up with them. And the Bible says after they had fulfilled the days that they were returning, supposing the child to have been in their midst. But they thought that he was among kinfolks and acquaintances, and when they could not find him, the Bible says, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing and asking them questions. You see, in the Bible, it was a privilege to sit at the feet of a great teacher. And I'm glad tonight that in the Church of Christ, that we sit at the feet of King Jesus. For listen to the Bible in Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 35. It does not matter what you have been through if you can just make it to the teachings of Jesus. For the Bible says, and they went out to see what had been done, and they came unto Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were all afraid. Listen to the Apostle Paul as he described his teacher in Acts chapter 22 and verse number 3. Paul says, I am a man which verily am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, was taught according to the perfect manner of the law of my father, and was zealous toward God, even as ye are this day. So in our text, we have the sons of the prophets sitting at the feet of Elijah. But there was a problem. There was a famine in the land. There was a dearth in the land, in which there was a lack of the provision that were essential for the appeasement of hunger. In other words, there was a shortage of food in the land. And I want you to notice something, church, that the sons of the prophets, even though they were followers of God, they were also impacted by the famine that was in the land. God has never promised his people that we could avoid the ordinary trials of this life. We are just as susceptible to cancer and other things as the biggest devil in the world. See, God has never promised us that by following him, that we could avoid certain trials of this life. You remember when Job, when God told the devil in Job chapter number 1 and verse number 8, God said, had thou considered my servant Job, that there are none like him in all the earth, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Listen to what the devil said to God. He said, doeth Job serve thee for naught? Hath thou not built a hedge around him, around his house, and all that he had? The devil was saying to God, Job is serving you because you are making his life easy and you are blessing everything that Job touches. God, in order to demonstrate to us that we do not serve him just because he out of a sense that he has promised us we will never have any problem. Because let me share something with you. Sometimes simply being a child of God will mean you will suffer something that otherwise you would not have. Because don't you know that if God promised us that if you would just be my child, I would keep you away from the doctor's office, many folks would serve God
but it would be for the wrong reason. But I'm glad tonight that God is as much God when the storm is going through as he is when the sun is shining. I remember, Jesus has never tried to attract men. See, when I was a young preacher, I used to just always talk about what was good in the church. And sometimes I even led folks to believe that once you get in the church, all of your troubles are over. Well, now that I have gotten older, I have learned that that is not the way. Because I remember when God got ready to call Saul, who later became Paul. You remember that God told Ananias to go down to the street that is called Street. Ananias acted like some of us. He wanted to tell God about Saul. And God told Ananias in Acts 9:16, he said, go thy way. In other words, I didn't ask him to submit a resume. And I did not ask you for a letter of recommendation. God told Ananias, go thy way. But I want you to watch this now. He said, for I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I got a question, God. If you know your preacher is going to suffer, why in the world wouldn't you move it out of the way? Because you see, we may have the same reality as other folks, but we have a different mentality. See, if you are going to serve God, you are going to have to learn how to take a punch. Or how do you know it, preacher? Listen to the book, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6. Paul said, I am now ready to be offered up. The time of my departure is at hand. He said, I have fought a good fight. Now, I know that Muhammad Ali recently passed. And I have got to be honest with you. When I was coming up, I was a Cassius Clay first, then a Muhammad Ali man. We couldn't watch them on television. We had to sit beside the radio. And I remember, and now most people remember him from his saying he could float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. But what I remember about him was that he could sure enough take a punch. Because I remember when Frazier hit him with a left hook, knocked him down to the mat, but he turned right around and he got up. If you are going to be a child of God, whenever you get in a good fight, you are going to take a lick, a punch somewhere, but you got to get right back up and keep on fighting. Well, here are the children, the sons of the prophet. Elisha tells one of his servants, say, I want you to get the great pot, and I want you to go out and gather some herbs, and I want you to sieve some pottage. Let me share something with you. Ignorance is no excuse. This man went out to gather some pottage, to gather some herbs. He did not go out and intentionally get some wild vine. But let me share something with you. You see, sometimes in life, error may look just like the truth. And but there are some things that look good, sound good, but are no good. And you have to be careful where you go in search of your salvation. Because sometimes you can go to the wrong field. Or how do you know it, preacher? Listen to the book, Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 4. The writer said, what more? What could have been done more unto my vineyard than that which I have done? He said, wherefore, when I saw grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. Let me share something with you. There are some things in the world that if you go looking in the wrong place, you are going to come away with what you do not want. Listen to the book, Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse number 21. Because, brethren, not only must we start out with the truth, but we have to end up with the truth. Listen to what God said in Jeremiah 2 and verse number 21. God said, yet I planted thee a noble vine, holy a right seed. How is it that ye are turned into a strain, into a degenerate plant? Of a strange vine unto me. God said, I planted the right seed, but then you turned into what I did not want. This man went out, and I want you to watch this. He didn't know what he was getting, and neither did the sons of the prophets know that it was not a good vine, but it was a wild vine. You see, church, we have to be careful because what's good for food and what is poison are both found in nature. You see, the same God that created the cow for the steak is the same God that created the skunk and the mosquito. The same Bible that men can go to and get the truth, men will also go to distort the truth. But we have to be careful as to what we are looking for. Because, church, let me share some with you. It would have been different had the vine had thorns and thistles, he would have known that it is not what I want. Sometimes we have to recognize that the devil and a lie does not come in a suit saying that I am a lie, but rather it comes dressed up just like it is the truth. Or how do you know it, preacher? Listen to the book, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 13. The Bible said, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that if his ministers have also transformed themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. Sometimes, church, people seem to think that I can very easily tell a lie from the truth. But you have to study, because sometimes a lie can sound just like the truth. when this man gathered his lap full, the Bible said, and I want y'all to watch this, that there was already pottage in the pot. But he came here and dumped that wild gourd right into the pot. Watch this here. Sincerity will never prevent a thing from acting according to its nature. Now, wait a minute. Let me say that one more time. Sincerity will never prevent a thing from acting according to its nature. A lie is a lie. No matter how sincere you might be when you tell it, error is error. No matter how sincere the person might be. Somebody said, I can't see it, preacher. I want you to notice something, that when he cast in the wild gourd, that the wild gourd poisoned what was in the pot. Why, preacher? Because the wild gourds themselves were poisoned. And even though he didn't know, and they did not know that it was poison, it still had the same effect, because sincerity does not change error into truth. Somebody said more, that well, if you want to serve God, all you need to know that God is a good God and that God created the world. Let me share something with you. We need to make sure that we know the God that we are worshiping, because many people are worshiping a God that is really not in the Bible. And what they believe about God is really not found in scripture. Or how do you know it, preacher? Listen to the book, Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse number 6. Listen to what God said. God said, thy generation is in the midst of deceit, and through deceit they have refused to know me. Sometimes people have been deceived for so long that even when the truth comes along, they will turn their back against God's truth. Listen to the book, Galatians chapter 4, verse number 8. God said, how be it when ye did not know God, ye did service unto those things which by nature are no God. Listen to him in Titus chapter 1 and verse number 16. God said, they profess to know me, but in their works they deny me, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. What I tell people is you have to take the time to really get to know the God that is in the Bible. Because folks are telling people that, well, as long as you know God, let me share something with you. When you really know God, not only will you know God, but God will also know who you are. You see, I know President Obama, but President Obama does not know me. I remember when we took a group of kids to the White House, and I had made up in my mind, I am going to see the president. So while we were on the tour, I'm looking around every corner, and the closest that I got to seeing anybody was seeing the dog. And when I saw the dog, I went to say, well, I don't even pet dog, But because it was this dog, I thought about reaching my hand forward and patting the dog. Then I thought, that dog doesn't know me, they don't know me, and if I go toward that dog, it's going to be a shame for the preacher to be locked up for messing with the dog, because nobody there knew who I was. Well, but when it comes to the church of Christ, not only do I know God, but I know also that God knows me. You see, sincerity does not change something that is wrong into something that is right. Sometimes people say, and I heard a preacher say this here, that if you want to go to heaven, all you got to do is just believe in God Almighty. Let me share something with you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is where? In heaven. Listen to the book, Matthew chapter 15. The Bible said, verse number 13, Jesus said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be what? Rooted up. Let them alone. If the blind lead the blind, they both shall do what? Fall into the ditch. Wait a minute, wait a minute. When it comes to what you are going to follow, you need to study day and night, because you may have heard something all your life, but that still does not make that right. I used to hear people say, go to the mourner's bench, but you can never read the mourner's bench in the Bible. I used to hear people say that, well, as long as your heart is right, listen, 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 listen. If you want to go to heaven, you have got to know what the Word of God actually teaches, because some people say that, well, Brother Moore, some people say that, well, Brother Moore, as long as you believe that something is in God, you are all right with God. Let me show you tonight, because I want you to watch this here. And I'm going to slow down just a little. I want you to watch this here. When this man came and put the wild vine in the pot, what was in the pot was good until he put the wild vine in the pot. Wasn't anything wrong with the pot, it's what he put in the pot. And one false item corrupted the entire nature of everything that was in the pot. Right. Now walk with me now. Because somebody said, Moore, don't you know that they teach a lot of truth just like we do? But let me share something with you. You can tell some truth and bring in one lie, and it will mess up the entire thing. Or how do you know it? Because somebody said, I can't see it. Come here, Moses. In Genesis chapter number 3, you remember that the Bible said, now the serpent was more subtle than any creature that the Lord God had made. And that Satan said to Eve, have not the Lord said that ye cannot eat of any tree in the garden? Eve said, listen, we can eat of every tree except the one that is in the midst of the garden. God said, don't eat of it, don't touch it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Look at what the devil said to Eve. He said, number one, you are not going to die. He said, number two, that God doeth know that in the day that you eat thereof, that your eyes will be open. He said, number three, that you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. I got a question, church. Did the devil lie? Now, wait a minute. Watch this now. Did the devil lie? Now, the devil said three things. I want to know tonight, did he lie? Number one, he said, you're not going to die. Number two, he said, your eyes will be open. Number three, he said, you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. I got a question, y'all. Did he lie all the way? Well, let's see. Because the Bible said that when Eve saw that the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she ate thereof and gave it to her husband, and he did eat thereof. And the Bible said, and their eyes were open. Wait a minute, wait a minute. Check number one. The devil told the truth. Their eyes were open. Well, let's see, did the devil tell any more truth? In Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 22, the Bible said that the Lord said, behold, man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. Wait a minute, wait a minute. Check number two. They knew good and evil. Now, wait a minute, church. We are at two-thirds now, and that's 66%. He has got more right than he does wrong. Whoa, but that one little wrong was enough to mess up the whole pot. Well, how do you know it, preacher? Because the devil said they were not going to die. When I was a young boy, I used to have some problems here. Because when I read the text, Adam and Eve didn't die. God put them out of the garden, put a flaming sword, lest they should eat of the tree of life and live forever. So I used to always wonder, did Adam and Eve die in that day? Because the text said, now, brethren, I knew Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, that by one man sin entered the world and death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. I know that physical death passed into the world, but I have a question tonight. Did Adam and Eve die in the day that they ate of the tree? Well, I ask myself a question. What is death? Talk for me, James. James chapter 2, verse number 24. For as the body without the spirit is dead, what is death more? Death is a separation. What type deaths are there? Number one, you got physical death. But number two, you also got spiritual death. How do you know it, preacher? Listen to the book. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 6. The Bible said the woman that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Wait a minute, wait a minute. Did they die in that day? Yes, ma'am, they died in that day. Because in that day, they were separated from God Almighty. They died spiritually, and physical death passed upon all men. The devil told some truth. Whoa, but when it comes to teaching the word of God, you got to preach it all, whether you like it or whether you do not. I have heard preachers tell people, say, well, listen, You are saved at the point of your belief. I want you to walk with me because I need to know tonight exactly when is a man saved. Well, number one, I know in the salvation process that the first commandment is that we have to hear the gospel. Or how do you know it, preacher? Acts chapter 15, verse number 7 and 8. The Bible says, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose and said, men and brethren, ye know that how a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Now, wait a minute, watch this now. Men say you are saved right here. Now, that's why, church, they used to have, and some of them still do, baptizing Sunday. You make your confession now, but you may not be baptized for some time because they believe you are saved right here. Well, let's see. What does it take? Acts chapter number 2, verse number 38. The Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin. And ye shall receive what? The gift of the Holy Ghost. I got a question, church. Are you saved right here? Or else are you saved right here? Now, I want y'all to walk with me now because somebody might raise the question, Brother Moore, what difference does it make? If you say a man is saved at the point of belief before he is baptized, because if you are saved at the point of belief, you are also saved before you repent. You are also saved in your sin. And Jesus said in John 8 and verse 24, if you die in your sin, where I am, ye cannot come. I got a question, church. When does a man or a woman, when are they washed free of their sin? Listen to the book, Revelation chapter 1, verse number 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sin, where? In his own blood. If a man is saved at the point of belief, then a man is saved when he's still in his sin. How do you know it, preacher? Colossians chapter 2, verse number 12. Therefore ye are buried with him in baptism, wherein ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Wait a minute. I used to wonder, what in the world did we have to have faith in when we went down into the water? Listen to the book, Romans chapter 6, verse number 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized where? Into his death. I got a question, church. How are we baptized into his death? What does it mean when it says we are baptized into his death? Well, you have to know. John chapter 19, verse number 34. You remember that when they came to the first thief, that they break his leg. Why did they break his leg? In order to hasten death. They came to the second thief, and they break his leg. But when they came to Jesus, he was already dead. Wait a minute, watch this now. Then the soldier pierced him in the side. Out forth came blood and water. Wait a minute, watch this now. When did Jesus shed his blood? He shed his blood in his death. When we go down in the water, we have to have faith that we are going to meet the blood of the Lamb in the water. And that's when the blood washes away our sin. That's why no one is saved at the point of just belief. You have to meet the blood of the Lamb. And I'm glad tonight that that same blood that we meet in baptism, that it keeps on washing away all of our sin. Somebody said tonight, what was the problem when the man came and placed the wrong thing in the pot? It changed the composition of everything in the pot. I am done now, but I used to always wonder, why in the world did Elisha tell them? He didn't waste time asking who put it in the pot. Elisha just told them to go and get me some meal. I'm not going to take anything out the pot, but I'm going to pour something else in the pot. Well, the reason why he didn't take anything out the pot is because, church, you see, there are some things that we have done in our life that we can never take back. But I'm glad that God picks us up where we are. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Be careful where you go to get your salvation. We have to stick with the word of God Almighty. There are things in the world that sound good, that look good, but they will never save. I am reminded of how the Eskimos used to kill the wood. You see, Eskimos had a problem with the wood. So in order to kill the wood, I am told that what they would do, they would take an ice pick and they would go and kill an animal and put the blood of the animal on the ice pick. Then they would take the ice pick and put the ice pick in ice and let the ice freeze the blood of the animal on the ice pick. When the wolf smelled the blood and went to start eating all the blood, he would start licking on the ice pick. The blood tasted so good that the wolf started licking faster and harder. But the problem was that after a while, the blood that was on the ice pick was not the blood of the animal, but the blood of the wolf. And the wolf, it tasted so good that he just kept on licking, overlooking the stinging that was in his mouth. And once he licked so long, early that next morning, I almost said when he woke up, but the problem was he didn't wake up. That next day, he found himself dead. Be careful about what sounds good, what looks good, because everything that the world is preaching, if the world is right, they will say you can go to heaven. Just treat your neighbor right. If the world is right, we don't need the church. Does not matter whether you marry a woman. Does not matter whether you marry a man. Does not matter whether you live right. Women can preach. Everybody can breathe. That sound good, but it's dead in the pot. Let me be honest with you. Then I promise I will be done. If it were up to me, I am a man who loves organized noise. I said organized noise. If it were up to me, we'd have a drum over here. We'd have one of those electric organs over here. We would have somebody on the bass guitar right behind me. And I promise you, if it were up to me, we could have a sure enough good time. But it's not up to me. I have to preach what is in the word of God Almighty. Y'all, I said I am not, but I get so glad to know that when you preach the truth, you can get the devil out of the pot. If you are here and not in the church of Christ, you can't just believe in God, because if all you know is that God is a good God, you don't know enough. Acts 17:30, at this time of ignorance God winked, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. When I say this, I'm not. When I was a young boy, I used to always wonder, when was the time that God was winking at ignorant? Acts chapter 14, verse number 16. At this time, God suffered all nations to walk in their own way, but he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, gave rain from heaven, fruitful season, filling our heart with joy and food. Wait a minute. God during that time winked at ignorance, but God is not winking at ignorance anymore. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse number 7. To you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angel in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God and who obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you want to go to heaven, got to obey the gospel. There is death in the pot. He meant well, but it's still there. If you're here, not in the church, won't you obey the gospel?